The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Very good morning. It's Michaela Clark sitting in today for Greg Hughes. There's lots to come on the show between now and 12 noon. And don't forget, you can get in touch on any issue you wish by giving us a call on 074 91 25000, or texting or WhatsApping 086 60 25000. And you can, of course, email comments at Highland Radio. The show, as usual, is streamed on our website, highlandradio.com, and our social media platforms if you wish to watch along. We're going to start, though, with a look at the papers, and starting with the local papers this morning. The Donegal News: Coughlin rules out running for president ahead of 2025 election. Chairperson of the Donegal GAA County Board and former Taoiseach Mary Coughlin has shut down rumours that she will be throwing her hat into the ring to replace Michael D. Higgins as president. Speaking to the Donegal News, the Frost's native expressed her shock at the circulating rumours. Becoming the first female chairperson of the Donegal County Board in 2023, Miss Coughlin said her emphasis at present is working towards Donegal's All-Ireland semi-final against Meath on Sunday week. The time really is of the essence, I think, for the presidential race. It isn't until November, but if you were thinking of running, I'm sure they would need to get their campaign off the ground. There doesn't seem to be any clear front runners at this stage. I know there's so many talks about possibly Mairead McGuinness running the MEP, the former Midlands Northwest MEP. But yeah, I think they'd need to be getting their campaign off the ground. The Tyrconnell Tribune this morning: Creaslaw curate refutes rumours. At the weekend masses in St Michael's Church in Creaslaw, Father John Joe Duffy took time before the final blessing to speak to the congregation of his hurt and anguish over the past 6 months. He told mass goers this was caused by the spread of rumours and falsehoods that have attempted to damage his character and good name. The church community was told that falsehoods circulated in recent months alleged that Father Duffy wished to leave Creaslaw and had already chosen a parish, that he wanted to be a parish priest firstly, and secondly that he wanted a change of parish. The other rumour he referenced was that he wanted and had requested a particular parish. Father Duffy, in his remarks, refuted all these allegations. Mascor said that they were told that never at any time did Father Duffy want to be or sought to be a parish priest. I can understand why Father John Joe was upset at them rumours. I suppose he's been at the heart of that community and been such a support for them in difficult times. The Derry News: £46 million paid by housing executive for temporary accommodation in Derry. The NI housing executive has paid more than £46 million to the providers of temporary accommodation in the Foyle constituency alone in the past 5 years. The figure paid to hotels and bed and breakfast establishments, which the housing executive uses as temporary accommodation, was obtained through a Freedom of Information request submitted by Derry Into representative Emmett Doyle. The request was initially refused, but following an appeal, some of the information was released. Commenting on the £46 million figure, Mr. Doyle said, "I admit to being shocked when I collated the numbers and had them checked by multiple third parties to ensure their accuracy." That's a huge amount of money, and I suppose it raises the question, surely this money could have been spent providing the much needed housing that, you know, the figure obviously represents that. There represents the need for the housing, £46 million worth, and obviously there's still families and still people there that are in need of that housing, and it isn't being delivered, but yet they're happy to pay out that money year after year. Moving on to the national papers, the Irish News: Kerry pleads guilty to defrauding people in cancer treatment hoax. Former Kilkenny hurler DJ Kerry has pleaded guilty to defrauding people out of money by claiming he needed to fund treatment for cancer he didn't have. The nine-time All-Star hurler, who won 5 All-Ireland senior titles for Kilkenny, stood in the Dublin Circuit Criminal Court with his hands clasped in front of him and pleaded guilty to 10 of the 21 charges he was facing. missing. Wearing a dark suit, blue shirt and patterned dark tie, Mr. Carey, aged 54, showed no emotion as Miss Justice Patricia Ryan was told by Dominic McGinn SC that the state was asking for Noel prosecute in relation to another charge and that the other charges be taken into consideration. There's so much in the courts this week, but it's crazy thinking somebody, a sporting legend that was admired by so many people, and at one stage he appeared to have it all. You know, he had a multimillionaire partner, he had so many senior title medals, and then he lost everything then in the crash. But to scam people then out of thousands of pounds of money is just crazy, and especially when there's so many people that receive that cancer diagnosis every day and they're struggling with this, to think somebody would use that as an excuse then to try and get money from people. Another court case, this is something and another podcast recommendation, I love podcasts, but The Trial of Diddy is an unreal podcast. It takes you through from the very start of the trial, the evidence that was being brought forward. It was published two times a week and it was just a great podcast, and it broke down everything for you. This relates to the story in the Irish Independent today. So Sean Diddy Combs dropped to his knees and prayed in the courtroom after he was acquitted yesterday of sex trafficking and racketeering charges that could have put one of hip-hop's most celebrated figures behind bars for life. The rapper was convicted of lesser prostitution-related offences and still faces prison time. The mixed result capped a sordid legal odyssey that shattered Combs' affable Puff Daddy image and derailed his career as a Grammy-winning artist and music executive, fashion entrepreneur and brand ambassador and reality TV star. So Combs was convicted of flying people around the country, including his girlfriends and paid male sex workers, to engage in sexual encounters, a felony violation of the Federal Mann Act. But the jury of 8 men and 4 women acquitted Combs of racketeering, conspiracy and sex trafficking charges related to allegations that he used his money, power and frightening physical force to manipulate his girlfriends into hundreds of drug-fueled sex marathons with the man. It's just, I find it such a disturbing case. And in that podcast that I referenced, you know, it goes through the evidence from his girlfriends. There's Cassie Ventura and there's another girlfriend of his, and they speak of these incidents, and Cassie speaks of how, you know, he got involved, or she got involved in that, how it started. You know, he was saying that these incidents were for her, you know, he would have brought in a male prostitute. And then she just felt she was compelled. She had no other option. They claim that they were in fear of him and that, you know, they felt their life was in danger by other things that he had done and threats that he had made against them. It is such a disturbing case. The Irish Daily Star now, raise pension more than dole is the headline. Taoiseach Simon Harris has suggested the rate for those receiving job seekers benefit should not increase as much as the pension rate in the budget. It comes as Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue warned choices will have to be made in budget 2026. In the last budget, Fine Gael had sought to increase job seekers' payment and the pension by different amounts. However, there was pushback by the Green Party and to a lesser degree Fianna Fáil. Government sources told the Star that it is too early to make any decisions on any budget matter, noting that the summer economic statement has yet to be published. Speaking to reporters after a meeting of the government trade forum, Mr. Harris said budgets are all about choice and they're all about balance, and there's only so much money in the pot. That's well and good, but those people that are on job seekers benefit, I'm sure, you know, they're crying out for an increase, and they need to live with this cost of living crisis, as does everyone else. So I think, you know, they need to increase the pension and increase the job seekers, and need to keep in mind this continual rise of the cost of living, that they can't just, you know, let people suffer along, despite them saying there's no money, not enough money in the pot to go around. The Irish Daily Mirror, another court case. Conor McGregor and a couple he put forward and subsequently withdrew as witnesses in his appeal are now facing potential criminal prosecution. 3 judges of the Court of Appeal made the bombshell decision to refer documentation put forward by counsel for Nikita Hand to the Director of Public Prosecutions yesterday following claims of perjury. The judges made the decision off the back lack of claims by John Gordon SC for Ms Hand that perjury may have occurred in this case after sworn affidavits were opened in court by the now withdrawn witnesses Samantha O'Reilly and Stephen Cummins. The couple had sworn affidavits claiming they heard a row between Ms Hand and her then partner on the night of December the 9th, 2018, after the alleged rape, with Ms O'Reilly claiming she saw the row from her bedroom in a house across the road. She claimed Ms Hand's then boyfriend pushed her and said she saw him moving his arms and hips as though he was punching and kicking her. Mr Cummins had claimed he was woken by screams and shouts coming from Ms Hand's house but said he did not see what happened. So their claims have now been totally withdrawn by McGregor, with Ms Hand's counsel seeking an apology from him over the ordeal. And that is obviously continuing, and I don't think we'll hear the end of that entire case anytime soon. The Sun now, €5 million spent but no dent in wait list. The health minister admits she's unhappy a €5 million boost for kids' spinal services hasn't led to a major cut in wait times. Jennifer Caramlick-Neil has now ordered an audit of Children's Health Ireland practices, the final stages of a bill that forces the HSE to create a national treatment service to ensure kids are not left waiting too long for scoliosis operations, was yesterday passed by the Seanad. I suppose that is the job of the ministers to, you know, kind of try and right the wrongs. And I seen that story today and I was thinking she has an awful lot going on. You know, there's calls this surgical hub needs to be delivered for Donegal, and there's so much right around the country. But she's in that position and she obviously needs to make a difference and listen to those who are in need of these services. The Irish Daily Mail: Sinn Féin called on the Lord Mayor of Belfast, Tracy Kelly, to explain the decision to remove a portrait of President Michael D. Higgins from Belfast City Hall. Following a social media post by Ms Kelly, Sinn Féin councillors were quick to notice that a portrait of Mr Higgins had been removed from a reception parlour in the building. Sinn Féin has now called on Ms Kelly to explain the decision to remove the portrait. The portrait had been placed in the reception room by Sinn Féin's Ryan Murphy when he was Lord Mayor. The picture was put up after Mr Murphy received a portrait of King Charles and decided to place the two side by side. This was then followed by a formal event to mark the occasion. The portrait's disappearance prompted Mr Murphy to question its whereabouts in a council meeting on Tuesday. Belfast City Council confirmed that the portrait, despite no longer being on display, is being stored safely at the City Hall at the request of the current Lord Mayor. So poor Michael D. Higgins has just been taken off the wall and stored somewhere else in the meantime. Finally for now, the Irish Farmers Journal. Potential tractor driving test gets mixed reviews from the farming community. There has been a mixed reaction from farmers over the potential introduction of a tractor driving test. The Road Safety Authority recently revealed that the introduction of a tractor driving test, as well as a mandatory training programme, is currently under review. The Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, said that he would be concerned about any impediments to the availability of tractor drivers, particularly during busy periods for farmers such as harvest. Minister Hayden told the Irish Farmers Journal that road safety is really important and farm safety is extremely important. I actually had to check this out whenever I read it. I presumed there would have been a tractor test, and obviously that I feel would feed into road safety, because in Northern Ireland that there is the scenario that you have to do, you can do a tractor driving test at 16. So my understanding is that you need a tractor driving test in the north. And yeah, I do find it a wee bit hard to believe. But I suppose then the argument is that, you know, farmers are arguing that they would find it hard to get tractor drivers then if they did have to go through this driving test. So I suppose you have to weigh up all options. If you've any views on any of those stories, get in touch by calling 07491 25000, or you can text or WhatsApp 086 60 25000, and email comments at highlandradio.com. Now, many would have woken up to the sad news this morning that a young girl had been killed and three other people have been seriously injured in a crash involving a car and a van in Carndonagh yesterday evening at around 6:30. The woman who was driving the car, a male front seat passenger and another child who was a back seat passenger, were rushed to Altna Galvin Hospital in Derry in a serious condition. I'm joined now by the Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Martin McDermott. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Michaela.
This is very sad news, and Councillor McDermott, you arrived on the scene shortly after the collision.
Yeah, we were coming home from Letterkenny yesterday evening, and it was a bit back from the scene, like the cars were backed up, but you know, you could see that there was a serious accident. You could see the emergency services, you know, were in trying to get to the scene as quickly as possible. It's devastating news this morning, you know, for the whole peninsula, especially for the families involved, in particular for the young girl who lost her life. It's tragic. You know, there is no words, Michaela, that you can put on this, the sadness that people are feeling this morning. You know, there's another black cloud over Neshone again when it comes to road traffic accidents. We seem to just, it just seems to keep on happening. No one really knows why. But it's a really, really sad day here in Neshone this morning. Mm. And, you know, there's still family members that are critically ill in hospital, and I would ask people to pray for them, to pray for them that they make a recovery, and to pray for everyone involved, because, you know, there is, as I say, no words that you can put onto this morning. It's just devastating news for everyone involved.
Yeah. And do we know, is this a local family?
Yeah, there's a local family from Cairndonnan. They live in Cairn, and, you know, widely known around the area. So it makes it extremely difficult for people to comprehend what has happened, and the loss of any life, but the loss of a life of a little girl is really, really devastating for everyone to take. And I just want to, you know, acknowledge the emergency services as well. Last night the guards, the fire brigade, the ambulance, and the rescue helicopter from Sligo as well that was on the scene. I just want to acknowledge the work that they do in times like this, in very, very difficult times. But I would ask people to please keep them, these people, these families, these members, in their prayers over the next number of hours. That hopefully they make a recovery. And just to keep the little girl that lost her life in their prayers as well.
Absolutely. And you referenced there earlier that unfortunately Inishowen is no stranger to road deaths, and it will be difficult for families who have lost loved ones in such tragic circumstances as well to know that another family now has been left in a similar situation.
Yeah, as I say, Michaela, it's very hard to comprehend why there's so many tragic accident here in Inishowen, and we have yet another one. It seems to be a regular occurrence, and no one knows why. But all we can do is just, you know, hopefully try and keep people as safe as we can on the roads. And I know there is a lot of work being done on that at the minute, but it's just devastating this morning to hear and to know that we've lost another life on our roads here in the peninsula. And let's hope that we can, you know, make sure that this doesn't happen again, but sadly it just does keep on happening.
Yeah, Councillor Martin McDermott, Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, thank you so much for joining us this morning in such a difficult, sad time. Inspector Sean McDade, Community Engagement Inspector with responsibility for road policing in Donegal, joins me as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Michaela.
So, Inspector McDade, you're issuing an appeal for information this morning.
Yes, we would appeal to any members of the public that would have camera footage, possibly dash cam, that were travelling in the area between Quigley's Point and Cairndonnan between 6 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. yesterday evening, Wednesday the 2nd of July, to make that footage available to Garda Síochána.
And it is so important that any small piece of information anybody has, that they do share it with yourselves at this time.
Yes, that's right, Michaela. Anything that people have, even if they think it's really insignificant, might be really important to the investigation.
That is Inspector Sean McDade there. Thank you so much for that this morning. So anybody with information, they can contact Buncrana Garda Station on 074-932-0540. The Garda Confidential line on 1-800-666-111 or any Garda Station. So Gardaí are appealing to anyone who witnessed the collision to contact them. And as you heard from Inspector Sean McDade there, particularly anybody who has a camera footage, including dash cam, and were in the area between 6 and 6:30 p.m. yesterday to make the footage available to Gardaí. And we keep all those who have been injured and remain in hospital at this time in our thoughts and prayers. And remember that young girl who lost her life as well. It's a very sad time for Inishowen and the family at the centre of this. Looking to some of your comments now that have come in. I was shocked to discover yesterday that figures released by the HSE said that people are opting out of the organ donation scheme at a rate of almost 155 every hour since the law came into force on June the 17th. As a mother whose daughter was given a new lease of life from an organ donation, I wish I could understand their decision making. Is it lack of education on organ donation, or have we become such a nation of self-absorbed people that we no longer want to help anyone? That is a very divisive topic, and it is a great discussion, I suppose, you know, hearing then of someone who firsthand has got a new lease of life in relation to receiving someone's organ. If you have any thoughts on that, get in touch on 07491 25000, or text or WhatsApp 086 60 25000. Another listener says, I will prefix this by saying this is not a target to any one person, but once again the councillors have a proposal to name another part of the town after someone. The giving of names should be reserved for those over 100 years deceased. If their name still lives after that, then they are truly deserving. This naming ceremony for the few is beyond ridiculous. Can anyone explain the system behind the naming of an area after someone other than some member of the council looking after a small circle of friends? Half of these people have not served in public life and are meaningless to the majority of the population of Donegal. Please let a bit of common sense prevail and someone put a stop to these councillors' lack of foresight. Best kept estate competition, Ballybofane Stranorler. Do you take pride in your estate? Show it off in this year's best kept estate competition, celebrating community spirit, cleanliness and pride of place across the Twin Towns. It's open to all residential estates in Ballybofane and Stranorler. Judging will take place on Wednesday the 23rd of July. Prizes for best kept estate, most improved and more. Let's come together is the message to recognise the hard work and care that makes our towns shine. So there you go, if you want to spruce up your garden, although today doesn't look like the day to be sprucing up outside at all. Now, you will have heard of the sad news yesterday about the passing of brother Kevin Crowley, and tributes have been pouring in since we learnt of the sad passing of brother Crowley, the founder of the Capuchin Day Centre in Dublin at the age of 90. Brother Kevin founded the Capuchin Centre in Dublin in 1969. I'm joined now by brother Richard Hendrick, the Provincial Minister of the Irish Capuchin Franciscans. Good morning to you, brother Hendrick.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
And first of all, condolences to yourself this morning. It's a very sad time for yourselves.
Well, it is, yes, of course, absolutely. Whenever we have the passing of one of our brothers. But I suppose we view it as a further journey that Brother Kevin has been embraced by, as St. Francis called her, our sister death. Please God is receiving the reward for all of the great work that he has done. We pray for him and for the repose of his soul, but really that's our goal, to walk through that doorway. So even though we might be sad that we'll be missing his earthly presence and indeed his earthly work, we trust that he's at peace and in the fullness of God's merciful love now.
And talk to us a bit about Brother Crowley and his setting up of the Capuchin Centre in Dublin.
So in the mid-1960s, Brother Kevin was here in Church Street, where I'm currently located, in Dublin 7, Dublin's inner city. He was aware, as indeed the rest of the friars were, that there were a number of people, all of them at the time men, most of whom suffered from various forms of alcohol addiction, who were present in a number of homeless hostels around the area. Now, the hostels did a great job at sheltering them at night, but unfortunately they were out around the streets for the day and often didn't have many places to go. And they sometimes came and sheltered in our church, or they called the friary for food and would be looked after. But Kevin wanted to do something more, something that would assist them in lifting them up a little bit, in raising their dignity and in giving them a place to kind of to be, to dwell. And so originally, beginning just simply with a number of old kind of garages that we had at the back of the friary, He created a centre, literally a day centre, a place they could stay for the day, that they could shelter in for the day, that they could have kind of conversation in, that their physical needs could begin to be met, and a safe place for them as well, and a place where recovery even could begin for them. And that was the beginning of the day centre back in 1969.
And it's a true example of the ministry and doing good to improve other people's lives.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's part and parcel of who we are as Capuchin Franciscans. We follow the gospel of Christ in the way of St. Francis, and Francis called all of his brothers to recognize that in every human being, indeed in every creature, not just every human being, but we were called to see a brother or a sister, those who are beloved of God, and we're called to recognize the presence of the Lord in them and to do all that we can to reverence their dignity and to raise them up, whatever the particular needs may be. So since the 1520s, when we began as a particular branch of the Franciscans, in fact, today we're 497 years old as a group, we've been working with those who are on the margins, with the elderly, with the sick, the poor, the homeless, and we continue to do that in all of our places around the world to this day.
Yeah, and he's no doubt a shining example to others. And even Pope Francis, during a visit to Ireland in 2018, praised his work as well.
He did, yeah. It was. I think it was the highlight of Brother Kevin's ministry there in the Day Centre, when we discovered that in 2018, when the Pope was making his pastoral visit to Ireland, Pope Francis, as it was at the time, that he had requested to come to see the Day Centre. We all know the kind of man Pope Francis was, and particularly how he envisioned the ministry of the papacy at the time as being a ministry of healing and reconciliation, and also particularly of outreach to the poor. So he had taken Francis as his papal name after Francis of Assisi. And so there was very much a meeting of minds and hearts between himself and Brother Kevin. We rejoiced to welcome him here to the Day Centre. And he visited with Kevin, and indeed with many of our guests who come to avail of the services there during the day.
And he worked at this for quite some time, up to recent years as well, before he decided to take a step back. Isn't that right?
That's right. He retired at the wonderful age of 86, and found it difficult to retire.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was really because of health concerns that he stepped back at that point, and retired to his native Cork. He was part of our community in Holy Trinity right up to his passing. But continued to keep an eye on the Day Centre from afar, continued to very much be part of the prayer force behind the work of the centre. That's how he saw his last years, working right up to the last days in the ministry of prayer for the centre and for those many people he had encountered along the way. We don't really speak of retirement in religious life.
No.
So I suppose really the job's just changed slightly, but that was the work that he did, and he also helped out in the community in Holy Trinity there in Cork's in Cork City. Certainly a well-deserved stepping back after all of those years of hard work.
Yeah, amazing what he has done there. We're also joined by Father John Joe Duffy. Good morning to you, Father.
Good morning, Michaela.
You knew Brother Kevin Crowley quite well.
Yeah, I think the first thing Brother Kevin would say to you this morning, he would be asking for about the welfare of the people involved in the accident, and his heart and his prayers would be very much with them, because he kept a great interest in all things Donegal, and particularly in people who were suffering. So our thoughts and prayers are with those involved in the accident this morning.
Absolutely.
And we think of the little girl and the families, and very much think of them, and have been praying for them throughout the night. And I offer my sympathies also to Brother Richard and all the Capuchins on the passing of Kevin. Kevin, I would have got to know in Ards when he was here as the guardian, I think around 2004 to 2011, and he always had that great welcome. There is a statue out the front of St. Francis Assisi which himself and Father Paddy Dunn got in Rome, and it has arms outstretched, and that was Brother Kevin, and that is very much the charism of the captains. Brother Kevin was somebody whose arms were outstretched in welcome, and a man of prayer, a man of deep prayer, a man of God, a man who got up to pray in the morning, I think around 4:30, and he would set, he would be the first in the Capuchin Day Centre, putting on the kettles and the boilers and so on, waiting for the people to come in that he was feeding and helping. He is so fondly remembered here in Chrysler and all over Donegal and by people who knew him. And you got that welcome from Kevin, and you got it in Ards, you got it in the Capuchin Day Centre. He didn't ask who you were, where you know, or why you were here, and he had that love for the poor and treated them with the same dignity as he treated the president, whoever it might be. Everyone was treated equally and in the same way. And but it was his prayer life, his deep prayer life, and he had no fear of death. He said that in an interview with Paddy Dunn for Highland Radio. He was indeed interviewed with Greg, and he had just that love for people, that great love for people. And he was driven by his prayer life and by his faith. And his sadness was to see so many people homeless and see families being housed in homeless people being housed in hotels. And drug addicts. He was very, very worried about drug addiction, and he had just that pastoral outreach, and he drew people to himself. He had a wonderful aura about him, and he seemed to be able to give time to everyone and anyone who visited him from Donegal or anywhere else in the Capuchin Day Centre. He gave of his time.
Yeah, and that Capuchin Centre now, it's a legacy to all that you have spoken about, the character of him that will now live on for many years to come.
Yeah, it will, of course, and he has left a huge legacy. But the legacy he has left is he has also left a legacy where he has put a difficult question to us: what are we doing for the homeless? And I think that's his legacy. Inviting us to look at ourselves, each one of us, and ask, can we do something better for those who are suffering from homelessness and suffering from addictions and drug addictions and so on? And I think that's his legacy. He was just a beautiful light among us. And in the words of St. Teresa of Avila, he was certainly the hands of Christ for others.
And you first met Brother Kevin when he was younger. Did you, at that time, did you know there was something special about him? Did he have this thought back then about the homeless people, that he wanted to make a difference in the world?
I was in my 20s, and he seemed an old man when I met him, but he was an older man, full of energy and enthusiasm. I think in his welcome in Ards, the welcome that he always had for us as people visiting Ards, from lay people to priests, and he had that way of treating everyone with great dignity. And the way he cared for the staff there, the way he cared for the people of this community, the way he cared for the people of Donegal, and he was challenged with putting a roof on Ards and doing fundraising and the people of Donegal, Derry, Tyrone and elsewhere. Just once he said he was fundraising for a roof. The money kept coming in. But you could see in him that passion he had for God. And he instilled in you that love for God and that love for Our Lady. And you could see there was something very special about him. He had a lovely smile, and that radiated the beauty of his soul, and a man very much at peace with God, and a man who was always, seemed to be always busy, but yet seemed to have time for everyone.
Brother Hendrick, all these tributes are testament to Brother Kevin Crowley, but I'm sure those that he has helped along the way will be thinking deeply of the kindness that he has shown to them as well.
Oh, absolutely. And as Father John just said there, you know, there are generations of people who have been touched by his care. But, you know, for Kevin, in starting the centre, you know, the presumption had been that this was something that was going to be around for a little while. Mm. And that as Ireland sort of improved and became more prosperous, this would be a difficulty or a social ill that would be dealt with and would disappear. And of course, the sad thing, the thing that Kevin always spoke about as his great sadness, was that now the day centre is needed more than ever.
Yeah.
And indeed, not just the centre in Church Street, but many, many centres and many charities up and down the country that are working with the homeless and with immigrants. And so I suppose the challenge that he leaves behind to us, because he was always a man of challenge, is exactly as Father John Joe mentioned, you know, for you, for me, for all of us, especially those of us who espouse the Christian gospel in any particular way, is to say, well, how are we dealing with our brothers and sisters who are in need, and how as a society are we going to deal with this particular and very pernicious issue that of homelessness that causes, you know, there's a whole number of other ills that arise from it. So I think in as much as we were giving thanks for Kevin and we're paying tribute to him, and we can see the enormous effect that he has had, I think really if Kevin was here today or was on this radio program, he would do as he always did, which was to say to us, you know, to all of us, myself included, but what are you going to do?
Mm.
You know, how are you going to assist the people who are in their needs? And yes, the work of the centre will definitely continue. It's busier than ever. The friars are fully involved in it. We're at a point now where we're giving out, I think it's nearly 800 breakfasts a day, nearly 500, 600 dinners. There are medical clinic services as well for the homeless. We offer chiropody, optometry, dental care. There's a women's clinic.
And how much has that grown, Brother Hendrick, from when it was started? How many people would you have been dealing with?
When it started, Kevin was dealing with on average of about, you know, 40 or 50 people.
Yeah.
Now we're dealing with thousands, and we see nearly a 10% increase per year over the last 10 years. It's a huge problem in the country. We're all aware of it. I mean, everybody sees it, everybody understands it and knows it. And I think we have a choice as to how we deal with it. We can sort of cynically close our eyes and separate ourselves from it and say, you know, well, it's other people who have to deal with this, whether that be government or agencies or charities or whatever. And yes, there's a certain truth to that. But I think all of us can begin in the way Kevin began, which was to look around us to see the needs that are around us, the needs that people have for connection, for love, for respect. And indeed, as John Joe mentioned there, you know, for prayer, if we can do nothing else, we can certainly pray for people. And that's what Kevin did. His entire life and ministry came out of a context of living the gospel as a son of St. Francis. So his day began and ended with prayer before the Blessed Sacrament every single day. Hours of prayer, in fact, in the morning and in the evenings. You know, the world got to know the working Brother Kevin out in the centre, but all of that work arose from the praying Brother Kevin morning and evening.
And I think that's a nice positive, as you put it there, to take from this sad time that, you know, maybe we need to wake up ourselves now and need to follow his example and do better for other people.
Indeed. And I think that's, you know, it starts at home. It starts with the person across the breakfast table from you. It starts with the next door neighbour, wherever you may be. It starts right locally in opening our hearts to others and in recognising, as Brother Kevin did, that we're, you know, we're called to see everyone around us as brother or as sister, and to begin from there. It doesn't mean that we don't recognise, you know, darkness and problems and even evil when it occurs, and that we don't challenge that. We are called to do that. We're called to recognise that, you know, there are difficulties and problems in people's lives that sometimes have to be challenged directly. But the most important thing is to do that from a place of love. As we say, as Capuchins, brother isn't a title, mm-hmm. it's a way of being. And that's what we try and aspire to, just as Kevin did.
Yeah. So, Brother Hendrik, what are the details for the funeral of Brother Crowley?
So this evening, Brother Kevin's remains will come from Cork to our mother house here in Church Street in Dublin 7, where he ministered for so long. And that will take place at 5 o'clock here today in the Friary in Church Street. All of the funeral rites and arrangements are open to the public. All are most welcome to attend. Then tomorrow, Brother Kevin's remains will be in our main church here from 8:30 in the morning until 6 p.m. And anyone who wishes to come to say a prayer for the repose of his soul or to pay respects is most welcome to come. Books of condolences will be open for anyone who would like to sign that. So to visit the church and to be part, I suppose, of our great farewell to our brother. At 6 p.m. then tomorrow evening, Friday evening, the friars will celebrate solemn evening prayer, solemn vespers in the presence of Brother Kevin's remains. And everyone again is more than welcome to attend that in the church. And then on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock here in Church Street, we will have the celebration of the Requiem Mass for the repose of the soul of Brother Kevin. That will also be live streamed on the Memorial Lane website, so memoriallane.ie, and the direct link for that will be available through the rip.ie, the usual RIP website there, where Brother Kevin's funeral notice is placed. But everyone, again, is welcome to attend and to come and to be part of either any of those ceremonies or indeed all of them, should they so wish.
Yeah. Brother Richard Hendrik, Provincial Minister of the Irish Capuchin Franciscans, thank you so much for joining us this morning and for your lovely tribute to Brother Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. As always, it's always a great grace and joy to speak to the Donegal people in any way, shape or form. I was there myself in Ards for a number of years, and it holds a very special place in my heart to this day.
Thank you very much. And Father John Joe Duffy, are you aware of any services in the Donegal area for Brother Kevin?
There will be masses. I offered mass yesterday morning for Brother Kevin, and masses will be offered in both Ards and in Chrysla over the course of the period, but it won't be until after his funeral in Dublin, so that takes precedence. I would like to thank the people of Donegal and thank Father Eddie Gallagher and the Andersons and Kelly Beggs, who for years have been sending items up to Kevin. They couldn't have done it without the help of the people, and to thank Highland Radio and all the local media who helped in the appeals for the Capuchin Centre, and please God will continue to do so. But Brother Kevin couldn't have done it without the people, and certainly not without God, and he was very clear in that, and without prayer, and he said it takes an effort to pray, but without prayer life he couldn't have done what he did, and he was a man of deep prayer. And I suppose was very sorry that more people weren't praying and had fallen away from faith. And he was driven by his faith, just mm-hmm. to mention that this morning. And I would also like to remember Michael and Anne O'Sullivan, the mm-hmm. couple who died in Cork, who were frequent visitors to Ards, and remember also Sister Magdalene Moore, whose funeral will take place in Donegal Town today. Sister Magdalene was a great people's person, like Brother Kevin, and she helped out with cancer services and treatment for cancer survivors in Donegal Town, and the setting up of the Solace. And many people were touched by Sister Magdalene and her work in hospitals.
And I suppose we were talking there about Brother Kevin, but as you mentioned, Sister Magdalene, it shows the amount of work that people do and the, you know, without thought to help others. It just, it's sad whenever we come to this stage when someone's passed on, that it, you know, we then reflect on what work is being done.
We reflect on what work has been done, but thank God their legacies will live on.
Yeah.
Sister Magdalene's in the Solace Centre, Brother Kevin in the Capuchin Centre for the Homeless in Dublin, where many, many people are volunteering. I suppose
Brother Kevin's frustrations were that not enough was being done for the homeless and for families. And each Monday morning, hundreds upon hundreds of young mothers and mothers of different ages gather at the Capuchin Day Centre where Brother Kevin was providing baby formula, and they were providing nappies and so on, and clothes for babies and so on. And that will live on, and it is the work of God that Brother Kevin and Sister Magdalene both brought about, and we give thanks to God for them.
Yeah, and seeing the tributes here locally as well, we've seen the President Michael D. Higgins speaking out and paying tribute to Brother Kevin, but seeing those tributes locally, it shows the lasting impact that he will leave here in Donegal as well.
Yeah, he had such support from the people of Donegal, and he had such a love for the people of Donegal, and he kept in contact with people so often, and he would always ask you what was going on locally, and if anything was happening locally, he would be in contact with people and sending them messages when they were sick, and if somebody died, he would be in contact with the families. And he just had a great way of keeping in contact with people, despite the fact that he was a very, very busy man. And he just had that love for people, and he had a very special place in his heart for Ards, Ards, which is a wonderful place of welcome and a wonderful place of peace. And we're very blessed to continue to have the Capuchin Friars in Ards. Mm-hmm. And the work he did there in Ards helped to keep that place going over the years, and we give thanks to God for that as well. And we thank Brother Kevin as well, and pray that he is in the warm embrace of God today.
Father John Joe Duffy, thank you so much for joining us in tribute to Brother Kevin this morning. And that interview with Father Paddy Dunn with Brother Kevin that was referenced there, you can watch that now on our Facebook hub page, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.